coming to get you, Barbara.
I don't know what you come to do, but I come to breathe.
Because you'll never be anything but a common frump whose father lived over a grocery store and whose mother took in washing.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to Who Shot Ya? It's your boy. I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. With me in the studio, I got film critic, host of the Max Fun podcast, Switchblade Sisters. It's Sometimes and Snows in April. April Wolf. April, what is good with you?
Well, you know what? I'm changing my mind. My thing that's good with me is vegan biscuits.
Oh, here we go. Yes, we go. Come on with it. We deserve it. Come on with it.
That's it. They're great.
Nice. I like it. To the point. Oh, and to my right, I got El Mero Mero de Navidad, the one and only. He's the film reviews editor at The Rep. How dare I forget to say that? It is Mr. Alonso Duralde. Hello, Alonso. How are you? Do you like how I hit that?
Yes. And your whole adding my title, I did not glare at you. I don't want people to think, you know, that's what was going on here.
I am the king of Christmas.
No. That part I'm fine. No, I had nothing to do with this introduction. What is good with me is, you know, the upfronts are this week. And so they've been announcing, like, you know, shows got canceled, shows got picked up, shows moved networks, all that kind of stuff. And I want to give a shout out to a show that I don't think anybody ever talks about. It gets renewed every year, which I'm excited about. But no one really, you know, spotlights it. And it makes me laugh a lot. And it's a sitcom on ABC called American Housewife. And it stars Katie Mixon, who I think is a national treasure. And she plays a housewife. Her husband is a college professor. And they live in... I'm forgetting. In a rich part of Connecticut. And they're basically the poor people in the rich part of Connecticut. And it is a funny show, and it's compassionate, and it's smart, and it's got a deep bench of really great comedy people, including Diedrich Bader and Ali Wong. And it's a show that I will sort of binge on when I kind of just am on the couch and want to be comforted and amused. And I always laugh out loud. I always enjoy it a great deal. So if you've never watched American Housewife, give it a shot.
I've never even heard of that. Is it single cam or multi-cam?
Multicam.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
It's single.
No, sorry. It is single cam. You're right. I'm getting my... TV is not my bailiwick, but thankfully we have an expert today.
Yeah,
We have a TV expert with us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to read the credits right here. She's the TV critic at the AV Club. She's Consequence of Sound and IndieWire. It's LaToya, and that's all I told you, and that's all I showed you, and that's why all this calamity is ripping my sanity. Why? Because it's LaToya Ferguson.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. I worked so hard on those. So hard. It's exhausting. I was very nervous. Hello, LaToya. How are you?
I'm
good?
I'm doing well. Well, I just... recently bought a 15-pack of Java Monster after not having it for many, many years, and now I'm the most productive I've been in those many, many years. I'm never going to sleep again, but...
Are you sweaty? Because I would just be like...
No, it's like my body is back to normal now, and I feel like me again.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I am ignorant of what Java Monster is. Can you explain to me what this is?
It's like a Monster Energy drink, but with your beautiful Java flavors, such as salted caramel.
Ooh.
So it's
light. Okay.
There's also an Irish coffee one, but without the alcohol, so what's the point?
Oh, no. I don't want any of
that.
Have
you heard the good news about Bustelo?
Thank you. Are you familiar with Café Bustelo?
I'm not.
Well, let me tell you that it is the drink from the gods that will treat you right. I cannot recommend Café Bustelo enough.
They don't sponsor us yet.
Not yet, but we are working on it.
Trying.
We are working on it. I don't know if
clearly,
we can tell.
Clearly.
This is going to be included in our reel that we send them.
Yes.
Our pitch reel.
Ricky, what's good?
Oh, thank you, Alonzo.
April.
Come on now.
Just thinking about those vegan
loaded
biscuits.
Loaded down with those vegan biscuits.
I literally looked down and was like, oh, my shirt's on. And I got distracted.
I want to give a happy birthday shout out to the First Lady of Rhythm Nation, Janet Jackson. You feel me? Alonzo, hit me with that Minneapolis.
Minneapolis!
Yes. Oh, It is her birthday today. I know this episode comes out on Friday, but it is her birthday today, Wednesday. I love Janet Jackson. Because of her video, Rhythm Nation, I learned how to do the tracks outside of Chicago. That move is known as the Running Man. Shout out to Love
Three,
Will Never...
3, 2, 1.
Shout out to Miss You Much and Escapade, like my man Alonzo just
said. But
what
is your favorite Janet song?
Today, I listened to, I was like, what Janet Jackson song do I want to listen to today? And today it was Got Till It's Gone with Q-Tip. Velvet Rope era Janet Jackson, I feel, is...
unimpeachable.
Okay. That's what's up.
Love Would Never Do Without You.
Love Will Never Do Without You.
That's such a good song. The entirety of Rhythm Nation, the arrangements of that, the song orders, the whole kind of... Mine.
It's kind of like a concept album. I mean, it's Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis at several of their creative peaks. I mean, shout out. So anyway,
and April, you used to do nice things for me. But what have you done for me lately?
Thank you.
Did you guys listen? There's a great Heat Rocks episode. Heat Rocks, the another podcast on Maximum Fun,
lovely.
Where they had B. Slade come on and go through every single like track on Rhythm Nation.
Ooh.
And it is so good. I learned so much listening to that. Definitely check out that episode.
Oh, I'm definitely going to listen to that. That's what's up, yo. That's what's up. Hey, on today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Gabriel Union film Breaking In. We'll be discussing TV shows that decided to become a movie. And as always, we will have our staff picks. But first, it's time for a news roundup game called It Addict, short for Is This Important? Do I Care? Here's how it works. I'll read a news blurb or headline. April, Alonzo, or Latoya will jump in with their take by answering these two questions. Is this important? Do I care? Let us find out. Last week, Last week, Gravy Gerwig.
Earwig.
Gravy Earwig.
Gravy Earwig. Last week, Greta Gerwig went to the movie theater to enjoy a screening of I Feel Pretty. Twitter user Jay Hunt noticed her at the theater and began live tweeting all of her audible reactions. Apparently, Gerwig said, "I hate this" during the sex scene. Quote, "This movie is incomprehensible" during the finale, and scoffed at other parts of the movie. The tweets went viral, were liked by more than 15,000 people, and then a bunch of media outlets wrote about it. Vulture, HuffPost, Slate. Is this important? Do you all care?
My favorite tweet was when somebody said, "Well, now we know what happened to Lady Bird when she grew up." I mean, if you're Greta Gerwig and you are, you know, a celebrity and somebody that people would recognize in public, don't you, like, not do this during somebody else's movie? I mean, just I don't shit talk like Sundance films on the shuttle just in case the director is sitting two seats away.
Yeah. It's kind of tacky. It's all tacky.
Which one is tackier, the doing it or the live tweeting it?
I don't know.
Like, but I think. Look, if you're as famous as Greta Gerwig, you got to live like you are live tweetable.
That's true. Although, like in Los Angeles, I feel like there's kind of an unspoken rule where, like, we don't like we let celebrities be people for the most part. Whereas, just like unless you're like working for TMZ, like that's something different. But like if you're just like hanging out like at a coffee shop and you see someone, like you don't really like approach them or you don't really like
you keep that like in your personal text messages with friends, not like 15,000. Twitter followers, basically.
So do it in L.A. and not New York next time, Greta. That's what we're
Hey, last Saturday at the Cannes Film Festival, 82 women working in the film industry marched on the red carpet to denounce gender inequality at the festival. You may be asking yourself, why 82? Because since 1946, only 82 movies directed by women have been in competition at the festival. That's compared to the 1,645 films by male filmmakers. Among the 82 women at the rally were Kristen Stewart, Agnes Varda, Salma Hayek, and Cate Blanchett. Is this important? Do you all care?
Oh, obviously. I mean, sometimes when it comes to, like, you know, stories about, like, women and sexual assault, I, like, wait to see if anyone else says anything first. But I
thought it would be boorish to speak first.
I know that I should probably, So, obviously, I care. I think Khan is, like, such a shit show with gender. they always have been, where they're just like, they're still like, Roman Polanski's a god. And you're like, well. You know, there's just so many like weird European ideas about, you know, sex and gender.
But now we have this sexual harassment hotline.
Yeah. I hope that's how they introduce it. And now we have this sexual harassment hotline.
For the cellular telephone.
Oh, my God. That really sounds a lot like Jerry Orbach. In, like, I don't
Beauty
know, like,
of the Beast.
Yeah, it really did. I really enjoyed it quite a bit. That's a good impression.
I was thinking more like Mr. Movie Phone, but French, basically.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
You have selected the sexual harassment.
As it turns out, like, that's Jerry Orbach's voice. Yeah. And the Beast is a movie
Yeah, they
phone
hired him in France to be Mr. Movie Phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we have more Greta Gerwig news. For those who've
Gravy Gerwig.
Not done with you yet. For those of you who have seen her film Lady Bird, you know the song Crash Into Me by the Dave Matthews Band plays a key part. The song came out in 96, but thanks to Lady Bird, there's renewed interest in it. In fact, The New Yorker published an article titled Greta Gerwig Somehow Redeems Dave Matthews Band Crash Into Me. When asked about the song's newfound popularity, Dave Matthews told Vulture it was flattering. He also noted, quote, there are people who truly don't like my band. Is that right? Do we have DMB heads in the room?
No.
No, I mean,
I got nothing.
Congrats to redeeming his creepy stalker song, though.
Yeah, there's I think most people kind of cool on him after that. Their tour bus like unloaded
poop on people.
Yeah, just like
tons
of shit
in
on people in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He did have that great moment in the Adam Sandler movie, Just Go With It, where he picks up a coconut with his butt cheeks. Let's not forget that one.
Let's not
what a
forget
crazy
that
crazy sentence. It was like a roller coaster throughout. That great moment in the Adam Sandler movie, and I'm like, whoa, where's this going?
I'm all about zagging when you think I'm going to zig.
But there are a lot of people that I know who really loved DMB, and if you guys do love DMB, I get it. I understand. It's mellow, you know?
Absolutely. I will say that I think Crash Into Me is a motherfucking cut. I think that song is a banger.
It's such a creepy song, though.
I'm not saying it's not.
It's Johnny Galecki in that video, if I remember correctly, or no?
Oh, I don't think there's anybody in the video except for like
Satellite.
The weird, like animated.
Mm-hmm. Satellite is Johnny Galecki in that one, and then I watched a lot of MTV around that time.
I know Crash Into Me. I know Ants Marching, and then everything else.
What's Ants Marching?
Take
I don't
that
know
shit
that.
She wakes up in the morning.
I could not hum a DMB jam to save my life.
I
feel bad that I just like chimed in for that.
It was stunning to watch.
And honestly, by the time I was in high school, people had moved on to like Jason Mraz. So
yes, yep.
Oh,
the hard
okay.
stuff like Jack Johnson.
Yeah, we're going upside down, guys. We're going upside down.
TV creator and friend of the show, Brian Fuller, is calling bullshit on the upcoming Freddie Mercury biopic, Bohemian Rhapsody. Fuller's upset that 20th Century Fox is covering up Mercury's homosexuality. The Queen singer was bisexual. Fuller points out that the trailer that dropped this week focuses mainly on Mercury's attraction to women and barely at all his attraction to men. He's calling it, quote, am I pronouncing this right here? Is it het-washing?
Het-washing.
Yep.
He's calling it, quote, het-washing for marketing sakes. I get it now, heterosexual.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I did the math. I
there
did the math.
Is.
Welcome,
you.
Ricky.
It's going to be here.
All right.
He also has a problem with the synopsis, which said that Mercury suffered from a, quote, life-threatening illness. Fuller tweeted, quote, dear 20th Century Fox, yes, it was a life-threatening illness, but more specifically, it was AIDS from having gay sex with men. Do better, end quote. Is this important? Do you all care?
Well, I read on Twitter somebody dug up. Yes, I get
and
to take
now
lead on this
look
one.
Too hard, so.
One of my favorite Twitter people, whose name is of course now flown out of my head, pulled up an article from 2017 that basically said that they weren't going to mention AIDS in this movie at all, and that apparently the reason that Sacha Baron Cohen had dropped out from playing Freddie Mercury was because the band was sort of micromanaging so much of the movie. So, haven't seen the film. All we're going by is this trailer, this teaser trailer even. But I would not be surprised if this movie tries to sort of skirt as much of Mercury's queerness and the AIDS as possible. And that's really annoying in 2018 that we're still making these kind of like bullshit, you know, night and day biopics where we're not really telling the truth about these people because there's some perception that it's going to damage the brand.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, you guys really want me to go out and buy Queen songs? You're not telling me anything about Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. Like, I just zoned out of the trailer, but I was like, I'm jamming.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, they made good songs, so there's that.
You like those songs.
We all liked Queen before, and we still do now.
Now that's what you call Queen. I could see this being, I mean, I kind of, not that I hate biopics, but I just feel like they're almost impossible to do well. Like, there's certain ones that, like, understand that you need to focus and pinpoint on, like, certain parts of a person's life, you know, and just tell the story about, like, that one incident or that one thing. You know, like, Jackie, I thought, did that really well. But I see this, and I'm like, this guy had such a long and interesting life. I wanted this to be, like, a miniseries, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I want this to be something that, like, you get to see, like, the full kind of texture of his life and all these different personalities that he had. I don't know.
Anthony Oliveira, incidentally, at Mea Koopa, who's great, M-E-A-K-O-O-P-A, hilarious on Twitter. Y'all should follow him. But he's the one who dug out that 2017 piece about this movie. And it just seems like it's going to be real bland.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will be discussing Breaking In. You're listening to Who Shot Ya?
Is there a dog in a car at a bar on the street?
Yay! I'm Allegra Ringo, a small dog owner. My dog Pistachio howls when she's excited.
And I'm Renee Culvert, a big dog owner. My dog Tugboat tips over when he's sleepy.
And we co-host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog that airs every Tuesday. We bring you all things dog.
Yes, dog news, dog tech, dogs we met this week. We also have pretty famous guests on Butt Legs. We're not going to let them talk about their projects.
No.
Just want to hear about those dogs.
We don't want to hear about your stuff, only your dogs. So join us every Tuesday on Max Fun.
Welcome back to Who Shall Ya? I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. Join me in the studio today are
April Wolf,
Latoya Ferguson,
Alonzo Duraldi.
Today we are talking about the film Breaking In. Alonzo, can you give us a brief synopsis of the film, please?
Oh, golly. Okay, sure. So, Gabriel Union's dad dies. He gets killed at the beginning of the movie. And she has been estranged from him, but she takes her two children to his mansion out in the middle of nowhere in Wisconsin to prep the house to be sold. But wouldn't you know it, dad's been up to some shady dealings. There's $4 million hidden in the house, and four vicious criminals show up, lock Gabrielle Union out of this crazy high-tech house, hold her kids hostage. But, of course, she is Gabrielle Union and will not be stopped. And
she's also a mom.
Yeah.
That's the most important part of it.
Yes, that's right. Yes, they don't mention it nearly enough. But, yeah, she's a mom. And so she's going to get in that house.
Thank you very much for that. I also want to give a shout-out to Alonzo, Shirt of the Day Award. That is amazing.
That's a great one.
That is fantastic.
From Massive, my friend Graham's company, they do cool graphic stuff with queer Japanese manga artists.
That's what's up, dude. That's so dope. All right, how did we feel about Breaking In? What were our thoughts when we walked out of this film?
Make Latoya go first.
Yeah, Latoya.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was very fun. I felt like a bad daughter because I didn't take my mom to see it. But I literally saw it the day before this. So. Yeah, it was fun. I'm not usually, this isn't usually my type of movie, actually. But
okay. What is your type of movie?
I mean, I like a good, boring white person indie movie usually.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I love a good comedy.
Okay.
But yeah, I was already hyped to see this just for Gabrielle Union being a badass, and it lived up to expectations, honestly.
You were on board.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I love the trailer. I was super excited. They unveiled this trailer with Proud Mary, which was a smart, you know, combo. And I'm like, yeah, I want to see a movie where Gabrielle Union kicks ass and take names and, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I I don't know who her character was supposed to be. You know, like watching this movie, maybe, you know, I kept hearing it described as being like Taken, but it's really more like Die Hard. It is that sort of thing where like the one person has to get in and the, you know, seemingly surmountable odds. But that movie tells you who the hero is and who the bad guys are. And here, like, we don't really find out much about her at all, except that her dad was sort of a criminal and she sort of knew it and didn't get along with him. And then, like, the bad guys are just sort of like super stock generic bad guys. So it kind of left me wanting a better vehicle for Gabrielle Union to kick some ass.
Well, you'll get that in Breaking In 2, obviously.
Oh, I hope.
Breaking In 2 Electric Boogaloo, which has been announced.
I usually don't allow Electric Boogaloo anymore, but this is a break-in movie.
Thank you. That's the only reason I said it, and that it will be the worst joke I tell on the show.
I was expecting it, so.
Yeah.
April, what do you think?
You know, to channel Ingu Kang, I feel like it was competent. I mean, I really like Gabrielle Union. I don't think that this director really allowed her to give the kind of performance, you know, like the space for her performance that I feel like she's really capable of. So that gets a little bit disappointing because there's not much atmosphere happening in here. You know, it's like the lighting is kind of like bland, you know, and you know, there's not that much going on with, you know, shadows and things and kind of making use of that stuff. But you look at like the plotting of this movie and you're like, yes, this all makes sense. Yep. Mm-hmm. This is what this home invasion thriller is going to be. And this is,
they set up the rules for what the house can do.
Yeah.
And although even that doesn't always work because, like, you know, there's motion detectors around the house. Mm-hmm. And at one point she like runs off to the woods and like, well, you know, if she comes back, the motion detectors will let us know, blah, blah, blah. And then you see her again and she's in the garage and Dave leaves and goes, weren't there motion detector?
Yeah.
How does she, you know?
Yeah. I realize I don't know if I'm ready to accept just the regular usage of drones in movies. Like the kid like playing with the drone, and I was already like, I'm out. No.
That kid was very precocious.
No thanks.
Very precocious. I'm like, I was not expecting a precocious kid. Yeah. I don't know if I can handle this. That was a little too much for me.
This is the kind of movie where they could have told us in the third act that she was an ex-Navy SEAL and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It was so good. Because she's capable of so much, and the movie doesn't set up any of it. And so, which is not to say like, oh, who, I wouldn't believe it. It's more like, is she like the woman who can magically pick up a car to save her kids in this situation, or did they just fuck with the wrong woman because she has an incredible set of skills? I don't know.
We'll definitely go into this for the rest of the Breaking In franchise because it's going to become a Fast and Furious situation. She will become superhuman and win every single fight, and it will be amazing.
The third one will be in Japan.
It's setting itself up to be like a Die Hard, which is funny. You know, they have her barefoot in the beginning, like through.
Exactly.
I read an interview with her that she was like, she fought to have her character put shoes on halfway through because she said, black people don't go barefoot. This is crazy.
Yes. That was the truest thing. When she immediately did that and walked outside with the wine, I'm like, who did this? And running around the forest barefoot? No, I don't even like sit down on the ground. No.
She said that she was like getting grossed out just filming it. She was like, I've got to put some shoes on.
Absolutely.
And so I thought that's really funny.
Well, it's a white director. Sorry, a white director, James McTeague, who did V for Vendetta.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. When the movie started, I got very excited because I saw his name pop up and I love V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
He helped out very much. He was the assistant director on the Matrix trilogy. And he worked on one other big sci-fi project that I can't think of right now.
Was he one of the Sense8? Is he in that pool of directors?
I think he might have directed an episode here or there, but I don't know how fully involved he is with the series.
Gotcha.
I learned this as we're getting ready to talk about this today. Home invasion films are a genre. Are there some out there in particular that stand out to you? They're predominantly a white person vehicles
I know.
As well. So
that's
I'm looking to
the
you.
The remake of Funny Games, I am a big fan of. It's
very
just white.
The remake one?
I haven't seen the original.
It's identical.
Yeah,
it is.
That's what I've heard.
I love both of
that's
them.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very white, so it's perfect for me.
It's Brandy Corbet in a tennis sweater white.
German
that's exceedingly white. I love Wait Until Dark. with Audrey Hepburn as a blind woman trying to fend off Alan Arkin as this like guy who's trying to find like heroin that's been hidden in her apartment.
Ooh.
It is terrifying.
Yeah.
And she is badass. Like, she got an Oscar nomination for that movie. And she's convincing as a blind woman. And so, like, I mean, it's scary and it's action-packed and really tense. And, you know, she is not coquettish at all. She is you know, fighting for her life in this film. And it's really, it's a really solid thriller.
What year did that come out? What era is
60, that? 67.
Is that right?
Yeah, actually same year as my favorite Audrey Hepburn movie, Two for the Road, which is a completely different film.
She had a good year that year.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's just, and it's that thing where because she's blind, she can, like, you know, take the lights out, and that puts her at an advantage.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh,
well, I like that.
You will dig it.
Oh, the one home invasion movie that I enjoy that does involve blindness is, it came out, is it 2 years ago? Is Don't Breathe? Is that when Don't Breathe came out?
Yeah.
Don't Breathe.
That's a great one.
I love that movie very much. Without giving anything away, I do not realize that the tables get turned in that movie.
Like, so, multiple times.
Yeah. When they do, I was just like, oh, that's what this movie's about. I am all in right now.
Yeah.
And there is something, too, just the sense of, like, using blindness as a tool.
Well,
it's,
I'll tell you,
so dope.
Before A Quiet Place, going to the press screening of Don't Breathe was the most silent I've ever heard a packed theater be.
Yeah.
Because that movie, because it's so much about it, because they're doing with the blind guy, like them not wanting to make any noise. So the audience becomes sort of these co-conspirators where we're all like also not breathing so that they don't get caught.
Yeah. It's funny that, well, no, it's not funny. It's just like people hate horror movies, but that no one really was mentioning that when A Quiet Place came out. It's like, oh, that movie didn't happen 2 years ago.
Well, it wasn't elevated, April.
Yeah.
Now that the genre's been elevated, we can talk about it.
Yes. Serious importance.
I want to bring up a 70s Giallo film because I love Giallo stuff and Torso. I think it's like 73. It's an Italian film that's also like a stylish slasher about these women who go to the countryside and there's a home invasion and they just die one by one, you know?
As you do.
As you do in giallos. But, oh my God, I love them because they're so stylish. They're so weird. They're like, they never make any sense. There's always someone getting an eyeball sliced somewhere. You know, it's just so weird. The practical effects are insane. And then also Black Christmas is a great home invasion story.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way, but you're right.
Thinking about like Margot Kidder and, and, you know, watch Black Christmas, y'all.
R.I.P. Margot Kidder.
The original.
Margot Kidder.
So great in that movie.
I found this list online of like most, like, what was like top 24 like home invasion movies. And the one that surprised me on there, since talking about horror films, was Night of the Living Dead. They consider that a home invasion movie.
That's a little bit of a stretch, but
they're in a home and it's being invaded.
It's being invaded. That's what I thought, but then I was like, no, that makes total sense to me. You're not on board with that? I wanted to get your reaction to this.
Well,
Dawn of the Dead is a mall invasion movie.
That's exactly where my brain went to next, bro.
Let's make a list of mall invasion movies.
Night of the Comet.
Yes!
Chopping Mall.
Night of the Comet and Chopping Mall, both filmed in the same mall.
Yes.
Sherman Oaks Gallery. Sherman Oaks Gallery that no longer exists.
Oh, R.I.P.
Also, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speaking of Black Christmas, the other great holiday home invasion film, of course, is Home Alone.
Yes.
You guys, Home Alone. Yeah. It's totally home invasion.
Somebody say it's the ultimate home invasion movie, all about home invasion.
I thought about bringing up Home Alone, but I have the same issue with like Home Alone that I do with Die Hard when it comes to Christmas movies. No disrespect, where it's just like, I just don't want to talk about Die Hard as a Christmas movie anymore.
But Home Alone is very much a Christmas movie. I feel like that's not debatable, and I've seen people
try
to say
it's not a Christmas movie. No. Just like, as far as like it being like a home invasion movie, like
Internet ruined the whole Die Hard Christmas discussion.
You can be two things, though. I'm just saying,
absolutely, 100%.
Well.
Movies can't be two things, or one or the other.
Pick one. That's it.
Is Donald Glover saving hip hop, or is Kanye? Pick a side.
I'm not like telling tales out of school, because Dave actually wrote an article for Fangoria about this. But he, while acknowledging that it's not a very good movie, because of his just personal phobias about home invasion, was so fucked up by the original The Strangers. That movie unsettled him like crazy. And it's not a good movie, and he'll acknowledge it, but there's just something about that movie that so kind of primally touches on this notion of this, the randomness of it and the inexplicability of just these people who show up at your house and want to kill you.
Yeah.
The Strangers with
Liv Tyler and Scott Tuna.
That's the original that you're talking about. Yeah. Or is there,
there was
another
a sequel that came out this year.
Okay, yes.
The original from 10 years ago.
I have not seen the sequel. I just saw The Strangers and for the first time last year. Yeah, I didn't think it was the best movie, but creeped me the fuck out.
Mm.
Sometimes I don't need to know why a villain is doing what they do. Sometimes they just show up and they're going to fucking be horrible, terrible people.
That's kind of one of the reasons why I love The Hitcher.
Oh, yes. I love The Hitcher.
100%.
Rutger Hauer.
Oh, yes.
Ultimate white dude. Come on.
He's quite white. I do love me some Rutger Hauer.
That movie scared the crap out of me.
Yes. That was the Hitcher was like, my mom should come into the room and like just not let me be watching whatever like, the hell
oh
I
God,
want.
My parents wouldn't let me watch things, but I would like, I'd come from my bedroom and I'd crawl behind the couch and then I'd be terrified for days from what I saw. So they were right not to let me watch anything.
Another one I thought of, this is on the other side of someone being blind. I saw this movie called Hush.
Yes.
Have you seen this? This is where the woman is deaf.
Yes.
And somebody is trying to break into her house in the woods. I enjoyed it. See, the first time I saw it, it has not aged well in my mind. I think that the issue with the villain in that one, just I would have preferred, again, not knowing his backstory. I'm about to give a spoiler here. It's not a huge spoiler. But just don't take your mask off. I'd have preferred that he was just a creepy-ass dude, similar to the Strangers.
Yeah.
He just kind of like come in and does his thing. Did you enjoy this? Did you enjoy Hush?
I mean, I have similar issues that you do. There's a certain thing, which maybe talks in like a touches on a larger idea of what a home invasion thriller is and why we have popularized them and why it's a genre. You know, like what does it represent to us? You know, who are these? Is it going to be a stranger? You know, is that what we're really afraid of? That it's someone that we don't know, that it has no reason for being there, that could just come and kill you at any time? Or is it more satisfying when there's a long-winded reason, like we have in this film, in
Breaking In.
I couldn't even remember the name.
It's the new Fast and Furious. Learn its name.
LaToya.
It's going to happen, and you're all going to be like, Toya said it.
You know, like, what do you guys like about Breaking In or like just general, you know, home invasion thrillers? Like, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, there's that whole man's home is his castle, sanctity of the thing, and you know, people are trying to breach the fortress. I don't know.
It stresses me out. Home Alone's the best one. This is not stressful.
It stresses me out a lot. Are you serious?
You don't like a precocious kid saving the day with paint cans?
I cannot even play hide and seek with children because I get too stressed out. Like it stresses me out.
What children are asking you to play hide and seek with them?
Too many.
Oh, hey, you know what's another great home invasion movie is Better Watch Out.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
That horror film from last year, which kind of spins on Home Alone.
Which is like both a home invasion thriller, but also not.
Yes.
Yes.
It starts that way.
Yeah.
I guess, to answer your question, I guess I like that moment where we find out from the character either they do have this set of skills that we weren't aware of, and they are able to take down whoever it is that's coming into their house, or we watch them learn to find within themselves
the resources
to get out of the situation. Like that's always a fun journey to watch in the character.
Did you guys find that part fun in Breaking In then? Was that satisfying?
No, it didn't make any sense to me what she was doing.
Yeah, because the only bit of backstory we really get is the phone call with her husband, mm-hmm. where basically he says that, you know, she's estranged from her father because I guess her father tried to say that she was the criminal and
yeah, that was it.
Like, not me, and, she did it.
But, like, what did she do after she got past that? She got past her trust fund, I guess, because...
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's her profession?
I want to know, like, I want her to be, like, her father's, like, right-hand girl growing up, where she gets violent as a child and knows how to do all these things. Like, I want that.
That would have been fun to
watch.
She rode
horses, we learned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she knows, like, and there's, like, make her ride a horse. And I'm sure that, like, Gabrielle Union was like, I'm not riding a horse.
barefoot outside.
She's like, I hate this.
We'll
I'm not riding a horse.
We'll get the real backstory in Breaking Two in, though, so.
Breaking tune. And again, you could have had a thing where being raised by a criminal, maybe like he taught her how to shoot. He taught her karate, something, you know, some kind of backstory.
Sure.
Here.
Yeah. That would have been like taking a page out of the movie we were talking about earlier, Proud Mary.
Yes,
where Danny
exactly.
Glover just kind of like, you know,
yeah.
brings
mentored
her in.
Her.
That
yeah,
would have
yeah,
been
yeah.
great.
Like, but maybe making it better.
Yes. Well, let's go around with what we thought of Breaking In. Should our listeners screen it, stream it, or skip it? Latoya.
I'll give some caveats because okay. So I saw this movie on a Tuesday at 2. There were only two other people in the theater, and I feel like that was a very disappointing experience. I wanted a packed house, really, but it was a time crunch, obviously. So if you can see it in the theater with, you know, a full experience, do that. If not, just screen it with some friends and some wine, and you're good to go.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to say skip it. You know, like, binge being Mary Jane or something to get some Gabrielle Union. She deserves our love and support. But this movie does not deserve her.
Yeah. April?
I might go with LaToya on this because I actually did see it with a packed house on Mother's Day, and it was hilarious to see that with a packed house. There's like one part, you guys remember, where like the killers open up the door like they're coming back in the house, and she like has to run down the hallway really quick to escape them. The whole theater just erupted in laughter. And that was like, you know, it was a pretty fun thing.
This
so,
is what I needed, and yes. I was really disappointed in this.
And it's a fun, it can be a fun way if there is a way to watch it, there is a packed house. But if not, just go home, wait until you can stream it.
I am going to say skip this movie.
Damn.
Sorry, it's just not a good movie.
But the fifth one's going to be great.
I am already...
The Rock will be in there.
Yeah, he'll be in Brazil.
Change it all up.
If that little kid grows up to be The Rock, I mean, it will be amazing. I am all in on that. All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about TV shows becoming movies. You're listening to Who Shot Ya?
Thank you so much to the over 28,000 members who joined or upgraded during the 2018 Max Fund Drive, and to all of our monthly members. You showed up in full force to help us reach our goal, and to show our appreciation, we're putting up this year's batch of Max Fund Drive exclusive enamel pins on sale for all $10 and up monthly members. And just like last year, we're giving all the profits to charity. For 2018, we're supporting the National Immigration Law Center. The sale will run from May 18 through May 28, so don't miss it. $10 and up monthly members will be receiving a personalized code and instructions to purchase pins on May 17th. So keep your inbox open and notifications on. For more details, head over to MaximumFund.org/pins. And to learn more about the National Immigration Law Center and support them directly, you can go to NILC.org.
Welcome back to Who Shot Ya? Joining me in studio are...
April Wolf.
LaToya Ferguson.
Alonzo Durrell.
Today we are joined by LaToya. Thank you for being here. LaToya, you know a thing or two about TV. Since we're a movie podcast, we're going to discuss TV shows that were made into a movie. You know, sometimes a show doesn't get the ending it deserves, so they decide to make a movie. Other times a show is so popular, they have to make the movie. For the sake of our conversation, I think we should exclude TV movies, movies made from old TV shows...
So the Murder, She Wrote TV movies don't count?
No Brady Bunch movie?
No Brady Bunch movie. I'm sorry,
no
guys.
No Brady Bunch movie. How dare you?
It has to be a TV show that became a movie with the original cast from the show. So I'm talking your X-Files
out
there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking your Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, okay? Hmm. Do you have a favorite TV show that became a movie?
Well, now then I have to talk about either Serenity or Veronica Mars, really.
Okay.
Because I knew what my answer was going to be immediately, but then you changed it up on me.
I flipped it, yo.
You did. You flipped it.
But stick to your guns as well.
My original answer, although technically it's also a comic, is, of course, Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes!
Oh,
you just
made a best friend
spot.
Right now.
The greatest movie there ever was.
Oh, my God.
That's his erogenous zone. Josie and the Pussycats.
All right, well, we will move the rules around a little bit now that we have two fans here.
Now you can say Brady Bunch and Brady Bunch 2, just so you know. Yeah.
Very Brady sequel.
Of course.
What is it about Josie and the Pussycats as a movie?
That beautiful, beautiful time capsule of the TRL era, an excellent satire that none of the white old guys reviewing it at the time understood, and they took it at very, very face value.
Yeah. They didn't know how to distinguish mock product placement with the real thing.
And it was so absurd that you could even possibly believe it was real product placement. There was literally product placement in every single frame.
Yeah, like people are in hotel rooms that are themed to Revlon or McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or Tide.
Yeah. Like there's a band that's in a plane that's
a band called Dujour.
Dujour. covered with Target logos, and over everybody's shoulder there's like a little shelf with like a Tide box on it or something.
And their that's hit funny. Single is of course called Backdoor Lover.
It's a brilliant film.
That's funny.
Excellent film.
Oh, you go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just gonna say, looking at this list of what we were counting as sort of the official ones. I mean, mm-hmm. a very mixed bag. I stand for the first Sex in the City, but not the second one.
Okay.
And I think the South Park musical is brilliant.
Yes.
That's a great movie. I wish they would do another one. Because Team America didn't quite do it for me. But I think they as far as original screen musicals go, South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut is brilliant.
Yeah, I have said, and I'm very proud to say that I do not like musicals, but South Park the musical is amazing.
That's something to be proud
why are
of.
You, wait, why are you proud
yeah,
of that?
Yeah, we hate that. you're on a podcast with people who love musicals. Yeah.
Because people, like,
it
this,
doesn't reflect
this
well
reaction,
on you.
This reaction that it gets is fantastic. Mm. I just don't enjoy musicals.
You've already said you are against things being two things, so.
Be one thing.
It's talk for another podcast, y'all. Talk for another podcast.
Now, I want to talk to you about Veronica Mars, though, because I saw that movie having never watched the show.
And how did you feel about this?
I liked it a lot.
Did you then watch the show?
I meant to, and who's got time? It's peak TV. Maybe
you could always make time for Veronica Mars.
No, I would love
to. It's just like you just want to watch the whole thing in a weekend.
You dropped Riverdale, so watch like a better version of that show.
Seriously.
Look, if I get to be Burgess Meredith in The Safe with a second pair of glasses, then that's on the list of shows I want to get to. But no, it's funny. At the wrap, both the Veronica Mars movie and the Entourage movie, we had two critics. I went as somebody who had never seen either show, and then somebody who was a fan of the show went and reviewed it from their point of view. And the Veronica Mars movie I thought was a lot of fun. Entourage is a hot turd.
Is that right? Surprising.
Oh, the worst.
Weird.
Oh,
who crazy.
Wow. Now, I had the same experience. I saw the film Serenity. Had never seen an episode of Firefly. Loved Serenity. Thought it was fantastic. Firefly, decent.
I never loved Firefly, and I still really don't. And I'm sorry, all you fanboys, I guess. But I love Serenity.
Yeah, it was a great movie. Do you have one like that, April? You didn't watch the show, just watch the movie.
No.
She does her research. Thank you very much.
I also never watched The X-Files, but I did see both X-Files movies.
Why would you do that, though?
Why would you do that?
Well, actually, here's what happened. I had to review the second X-Files movie. And so rather than go back and watch the entire series, I just watched the first X-Files movie and figured that would be enough. That second X-Files movie is terrible and super transphobic for no good reason.
I have heard about the transphobia in the movie. I don't know if I got 30 minutes into the movie before I was like, I'm out, and turned it off. One of the rare times I've turned off a movie. And I mean, I love the X-Files. I've seen almost every episode. And I was just like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
First movie I thought was great. I thought they did a great job of because I believe the first movie picks up after season 5 or season 6 of the TV show, and the story just goes right into it, and it's able to end in a way that is, it ends the movie and still kind of gets you right back into the TV show again. Let's say, are there any shows right now that you're looking forward to possibly becoming a movie, or do you think that they are worthy of being turned into a movie?
Yeah, LaToya, tell us.
I mean, this is going to like ruin my street cred, because I do know that one is becoming a movie. Well, it is, like, it's coming out soon, which is the Teen Titans Go movie.
I can't wait for that!
I'm a fan of Teen Titans Go, and...
Can you tell me what Teen Titans
Go is? I don't know what it is either, so I'm excited.
If you know the Teen Titans cartoon, basically it's a reboot version of that with, you know, Robin and Beast Boy and Raven. It's a very... Some would say childish version of it. I think it's a very self-aware show.
Yes.
That knows how, like, it's intentionally stupid, but, like, in a good way.
Okay.
And they're making a feature film, and a lot of adults have complained about it because they're ruining the Teen Titans, but the entire joke of the movie is that how they're ruining the Teen Titans. So.
All right.
That's the entire joke of the show, really.
That's maybe the movie I'm looking forward to most this summer, actually.
Is that right?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if we're going to count this, since I guess technically it's a TV movie more than a theatrical, but I was very excited when Gilmore Girls came back and did those four 90-minute movies.
Were they 90-minute? Yeah. Are you talking about on Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Those were 90 minutes each?
Yeah.
Well, wow, I didn't know that.
Because they were each a season. Yeah.
Like, so those are each a movie then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Technically,
spring, summer, fall, yeah. And so, I mean, yeah, I guess it's sort of a miniseries, but it was also sort of a movie. But there was so much talk about... kind of because that show, you know, did an entire season without its creator running it, people felt like it was left dangling, and so it was that perfect thing of getting to kind of punctuate it, you know, mm-hmm. the way that it had been intended to be. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, there are some shows where, I mean, like, you know, there was a lot of talk this week about Last Man on Earth ending on a cliffhanger, you know, and no one's picking that up apparently. So mm-hmm. that's a lot of times I think where a movie can come in handy to sort of give the fans a button, you know, to sort of complete the experience.
Yeah. Do either of you have a TV show that you would like to see turned into a movie?
Murder, She Wrote.
I can't believe I asked a question that I
knew
the answer to.
Stop setting me up, Ricky.
That's what I'm here for.
Jessica Fletcher will be a 20-something, though, in this remake. You know this, right?
I know. It's
played by Lily What's-Her-Face from the Mamma Mia sequel.
I wrote a thing for McSweeney's not too long ago about how they... like a fake reboot with casting Selena Gomez as the new widow Fletcher, you know?
It would be Jennifer Lawrence, and she would still play older for some reason.
Yeah, sort of like aging makeup or something.
I don't know. Well, I already got my Mystery Science Theater movie while that show was still on the air. So I don't know. So much of the stuff that I like on TV right now kind of feels like it should be on TV and is cinematic in its own way. I mean, like, Westworld is driving me up the wall, but I mean, that show feels like a movie every week.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine what, like, more money and a bigger screen would necessarily do for them. You know, like, check with me after The Americans ends. You know, let's see how I feel and who's alive and how I feel about it.
Yeah,
know?
I still would love to see a Quantum Leap movie. I would be. I think Scott Bakula is just solid. Call my man Dean Stockwell up. Donald P. Belisario, where you at? Let's go.
See, I'm going to say Sliders because I
always
say
Jerry O'Connell. Yes. Jerry O'Connell.
Yes. It's a proper TV reboot, but a movie will be good too.
I would be all on board with that.
100%. Jerry O'Connell is so cool. I once saw him in an airport and I tweeted that I was just like, oh, should I ask him about Sliders? And then he liked it a minute later and I saw him looking around. To see what other I was like, oh, I'm too nervous.
I saw him at a wrestling show in Reseda with like just a couple hundred people and I went up to him and was like, I'm a big fan of you. I love Sliders. He was very appreciative.
He's so cool.
He filled in for Wendy Williams, and it was pretty amazing.
I quite like him. We're a big fan of him on this podcast.
Hey, y'all, it is almost time for us to go, but before we do, we'd like to leave you with staff picks. Every week we go around and we let you know movies that you should be watching, whether it's in theater, streaming, online, anywhere. LaToya, why don't we start with you?
Well, I made Breaking In a double feature, and I saw Tully immediately after it.
Nice.
And I love that movie. I'm probably going to watch it many more times. Mackenzie Davis can do no wrong in my eyes, basically. Yeah, really fantastic. I just want to cry thinking about it, honestly.
Don't cry.
I would be okay with the whole... Would I be okay with the whole Catch Fire movie? Maybe?
Yeah, I would.
I think so. Or like one reunion TV
Cameron and
movie.
Donna Forever.
What right? if they cross over with Silicon Valley?
Oh,
too many dudes.
I would want them to take down the Silicon Valley dudes.
Right?
I would, absolutely. Alonzo, what do you got?
Well, so I watched, I saw Solo, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that later on.
Okay.
One of the best things about it, of course, is Donald Glover. And I thought, what other Billy Dee Williams roles can he now fill in? And I'm determined now that somebody's going to make a lot of money putting him and Beyonce in a remake of Mahogany.
Ooh.
So do your homework now and see Mahogany, which is this insane Diana Ross vehicle in which she plays a young fashion designer from the ghetto who becomes an international supermodel while he becomes mayor of Detroit or something. And it's just crazy.
Well, they do need another mayor right now. There's a lot of political problems back home.
See, I thought the role you were going to say was the general from Undercover Brother, but I guess
well, he'll get that.
That's hilarious.
Eventually, you know.
I thought you were going to say Beyonce and Donald Glover in a remake of Nighthawks, and I was like, in on that.
Or we could just do a remake of Carmen Hip Hopera. Honestly, it's time, Beyonce. It's time.
Yes.
Well, there's even like in Dreamgirls, there's a montage of her very Diana Ross-ish characters' movies, mm-hmm. and she's clearly in a film that is meant to make us think of Mahogany.
Sure.
So
yeah.
The groundwork has been laid.
Do April,
you
what
know
sing
where
a
you're going to?
Should I just wait until he sings?
No. I'm done.
Another Margot Kidder movie, one where I think that she is at her best. You guys should see Brian De Palma's Sisters if
yeah.
you haven't seen it. We were just talking about the Cronenberg film with Jeremy Irons,
Dead
Ringers. We were just talking about that. And this is, in a way, kind of like
yeah, good double
Margot Kidder's own Dead Ringers. And Sisters is, yeah, it's one of my favorite movies of De Palma's because it's... I love sister things, and I love just psychotic women. I love those movies, so that's my jam.
Yeah. All right, that's what's up. I am going to stick kind of to the genre movies we were talking about, home invasion movies. I'm recommending Panic Room, David Fincher's Panic Room, Jodie Foster, Kristen Stewart.
That's Jodie Foster's mini-me.
I think that's the first time I saw... I don't believe I've ever seen Sling Blade. Don't hate me. But I think that's the first time I saw Dwight Yoakam in a movie. And I was like, Dwight Yoakam's creepy motherfucking ass. Goddamn. And like, solid villain Dwight Yoakam plays. He gets a lot of screen time. Forest Whitaker is great. Jared Leto in his goddamn cornrows.
Oh my god.
But it's a really great movie. It's not the first time because David Fincher is really like a stylized director. But it's the first time he does a thing with like the way he shoots the credit, the opening credits in that movie is very similar to how he shoots the credits in Zodiac, where like the camera like pans in into the city. Like when you see it right away, you're just like, oh shit, that's the first time I've kind of seen that done in a movie. And it's a real cool moment. And also it's like when he first starts doing the thing like he did in Fight Club, where the camera like will travel through a trash
the
can,
neurons.
Through the wall. Right. Yeah, like all that is just done very well. And Jodie Foster's fantastic in it. She's really dope. Shout out to Jodie Foster. Friend of the show, Jodie Foster, ladies and gentlemen.
She likes Bustelo too.
I bet she does.
Next week, we will be talking about Deadpool 2 with special guest Freddie Wong from the Maximum Fun Podcast Story Break. Word. Hey, if you like what you're hearing, leave us that good review on Apple Podcasts. 5-star reviews get a shout out on the show. I had to edit a few of these because they ran a little long, so apologies for that. All right, so our first review here is from @Drew_haha. I did arrive at this podcast as a fan of Ricky, but I'm now a fan of April and Alonzo's as well.
Yeah.
You guys are now...
thank you.
Gracias. You guys are now required listening for me every week. On Fridays, the grass is mowed around my apartment, which is a smell I love from childhood. I took that weird tangent to say that the smell of freshly cut grass and a new episode of Who Shot You dropping signals the start of my weekend. In that moment, life is good. The show has opened up to seeking more individual perspectives as opposed to just the amorphous film conversations at large. This review is lengthy as hell. Apologies. Thank you three for a great show. I wish I could give it 10 stars.
Aww.
Thank you, Drew. Ha ha.
April, would you like to read this next one?
I do. I would like to read the next one. PD Fisher 29 says, I can't tell you guys how much I love listening to this podcast. The personalities and discussion are the best. One of my favorite podcasts, and one of the only ones I listen to each week. I don't even mind one of the hosts being a Holocaust denier.
Okay, can we just stop that right now?
I totally did not read the end until I was like reading it. Alonzo.
Again with this.
LaToya, Alonzo has some dark secrets that we have.
I didn't like Schindler's List. That's all this comes down to.
Is that really all it comes down to?
Yes.
There's something there. People just say someone's a Holocaust denier.
Yeah, they do, as it turns out. They just say it.
There is a winky smiley face at
the
end.
Let's be very clear about that.
Yes, this is all done in jest.
So we'll allow it, PD. Grace Cohen 22 says, I ran out of episodes of Switchblade Sisters, but found solace in this wonderful show. I just get pure joy listening to these three hilarious and interesting people discuss all types of films, from Oscar winners to Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we did.
And it's always refreshing listening to people who genuinely just love movies, and they always have the best guest hosts. Can I let Drea know my name is Grace?
Girl, I wish you would.
I think you just did. Thank you for the effort you put into this every week.
Oh, fantastic. And our last one here is from Keiko O'Brien.
I got to shout out that TNG DS9 Keiko O'Brien name. That's like the most not loved character in TNG and DS9.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, which one is Keiko O'Brien? Oh, that's O'Brien's
Chief
wife.
Chief O'Brien's wife. Yes. Who's always just like, I hate my life.
Yes. Oh, solid.
My spirit animal, obviously.
Solid Twitter handle. That's what's up. They say, I love the host's fresh takes on the movie they review each week. I don't always agree with their opinions, but their opinions are generally well-informed. April Wolf especially.
Shit. Oh, my God.
Boom. Boom. They are all huge movie nerds. It's nice listening to a movie pod that presents points of view that differ from A, the usual cisgender white guys, B, many of my own, always provocative, relevant, and fun. 5 out of 5 Café Bustelos.
You don't get better than that.
Coño. Gracias. LaToya, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This is great. Yes.
Thank you, LaToya.
Where can people find you? Do you have anything you want to plug? Tell the people where you at.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at LaFergs, where I'm just always tweeting so much. Obviously, I write at the AV Club. Glow is coming up for season 2, which I review for the AV Club, so don't care for that.
Excellent.
I review Saturday Night Live over at IndieWire, so the season finale is coming up too. TV's ending, guys, and I need more money.
Oh, shit. TV is ending?
Yeah.
RIP TV. RIP TV.
Oh, man.
Do you all have anything you want to plug out this week?
I'm going to be at the Mission Lakes Film Festival next week, which I'm very excited about because it's up near Yosemite, and I've never visited that part of California. So I'm looking forward to seeing some good movies and maybe actually like walking outside of darkened theaters and getting some nature in. It's overrated.
Nature's cool. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm plugging nature
biscuits.
This week.
Thank you.
And vegan biscuits.
I'm plugging nature and vegan biscuits. I'm seriously very fun at parties. I don't know. Just listen to Switchblade Sisters. This week we've got Sarah Gamble, creator of The Magicians, on. And next week we've got Sarah Gertrude Shapiro, creator of Unreal, on. And it's fun conversations.
Ooh, your live episode.
We're doing the live episode that we did, recorded before. It's coming out next week, which... we'll see. Hopefully it was good. I go into a fugue state when I do those things, so I don't really know.
I have an episode of Everything is Coming Up Simpsons. That is a podcast that is right here on the Max Fun with Julia Prescott and Allie Gertz, and it was fantastic
to
record.
What episode did you pick?
I picked Itchy and Scratchy the movie.
Nice.
Yes, yeah. Again with the Klingons. One of the best jokes they've ever done.
That's such a good episode. I'm so glad that you picked that one.
Oh, it's great.
It ties into the theme we were discussing.
See what I'm saying? Yo, see what I'm saying? I think of things, yo. I think.
You just reminded me that I'm also on the Canceled Too Soon podcast.
Yes.
With Whitney Siebold and Bibiani.
William Bibiani.
Bibbs. I don't know. He's just like not a William to me. He's a Bibbs.
He's a Bibbs,
I feel like.
For sure.
They're super fun, very knowledgeable guys. And Alonzo was on once before talking about My Mother the Car on their podcast, and I'm talking about Cop Rock.
Yeah.
So that hit this week, and so you guys should listen to that.
I'm two-thirds of the way through the episode. It was riveting.
Shout out to Stephen Bochco, RIP. Bingo, bingo, Bochco. Thank you. Hey, check out our Facebook group. If you haven't subscribed yet, handle that at facebook.com/groups/WhoShotYaPodcast. Have a comment or suggestion about this week's show. Tweet at us at WhoShotYaPod or send us an email at WhoShotYaMaximumFun.org. Our producer is Casey O'Brien. Our senior producer is Laura Swisher. This is a production of MaximumFun.org, and that's Wallace up!
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.